guess it's real enough. They got refrigerators full of blood. Another century spent pointing guns at anything that moves. Sometimes I worry that I've lost the plot. My twitching muscles tease my flipping thoughts. I never really dreamed.
And welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And we've been trying to get through to Catherine Newman, the Dean of the Krieger School of Arts and Sciences and Professor of Sociology at Johns Hopkins University. She's the author of Rampage, The Social Roots of School Shootings. I spoke to her previously twice before going on the air. It's very mysterious why she's suddenly unavailable. But we're fortunate to have on the line Paul Helmke, who is the former president of the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence and currently a professor of public policy at Indiana University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Paul Helmke.
Yeah, always good to be on the show. Thank you.
And again, we've had this tragic intersection, Paul, of a history of mental illness and the easy access to assault weapons. I know for you, given the decades you've worked on this issue, and you've been the mayor of a major city of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and were head of mayors against gun violence, this is like a broken record or a bad movie. But what's your reaction to what just happened in Santa Monica?
Well, obviously another tragedy, and again, we do nothing as a country in response to these tragedies. I mean, we've done nothing since Newtown. It makes us all wonder what's it going to take for us to have Congress do something. We're looking obviously still a lot of the details in the Santa Monica shooting, but clearly there was some history here. Clearly, this is a person that shouldn't have had easy access to guns, and the photos I've seen of his arsenal shows that that's something somebody in the military should be having, to have a semi-automatic assault rifle, to have those high-capacity ammunition magazines, to have that much ammunition in the first place. That's something other countries would not allow, but in this country, we make it pretty easy.
Well, he had, all told, 1,300 rounds of ammunition.
Mm-hmm. And it's... And again, this is someone, at least based on the early reports, that there was a history where this is that he shouldn't have been able to get these things, and where he got them and how he got them. At least I haven't read the details yet. And California is a state that does have some strong gun laws, but one of the problems with just single states having strong gun laws is it's fairly easy to get those guns and that kind of ammunition in states like Nevada, in states like Arizona, and in bordering states. And again, we don't know where he got these, but that's the sort of individual that should not be able to get that kind of weaponry that easily. And really, I think we can raise a serious question whether anyone needs that kind of ammunition with that kind of firepower at any time.
So the consistency here is that the Colorado shooter, the recent Colorado shooter, is actually pleaded insanity in his case, and he was clearly under psychiatric supervision, but yet nothing was apparently done to prevent him doing what he did. Going back to Virginia Tech, the shooter there had a history of mental illness, yet he was able to purchase firearms. And then, of course, the hideous shooting of the children at Sandy Hook in Connecticut. That young man was clearly troubled, although, again, the problem seems to be here that either there's a breakdown in the professional the ability of professionals to intervene, and I guess the resistance of families to face up to how problematic their own children are.
Right. There's really a number of issues here. One is clearly we don't do enough in this country with regard to mental health and treatment of mental health, early identification of it, having the resources available to families, to schools, to others that might spot this, requirements, the ability to give treatment and requirements that somebody get treatment. We need to do a lot more as a country in strengthening our mental health system. But the standard for buying guns with mental issues, for someone with mental health issues is very low. It's not much of a standard at all in this country. In 1968, Congress passed a gun control bill that says that if you were, the phrase they used, if you're a mental defective, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. And that's been defined since that time in the regulations as someone who has been found by a court or a court-like body to be a danger to themselves or others. So that's a pretty high standard to meet to be disqualified. The catch is that that even when someone meets that standard, like the Virginia Tech shooter, unless the state sends those records into the background check system, which Virginia did not do, and unless we require there be a background check for every sale, which we don't do, most sales that by so-called private sellers, particularly at gun shows, they don't have to do a background check, then that sort of person is going to be able to easily get the gun anyway. So, yes, let's fix the mental health system. Yes, let's have a tighter standard for who can get a gun. Yes, let's make sure we check that sort of stuff every time we do a sale. You know, the one thing I've always pointed out, if somebody wants to get a job at McDonald's or at any fast food restaurant maybe mow somebody's grass, generally you're going to ask, you know, will your neighbor give you a recommendation? Will your school, your high school teacher or grade school teacher give you a recommendation? We want to make sure somebody that's working in the fast food industry or mowing our yards, at least somebody can vouch for them. To get a gun in this country, to get all sorts of guns with serious firepower, nobody has to vouch for you. You don't have to go through any sort of procedure like that. And I think we should look at maybe, have those sorts of tests or some sort of requirements before someone can so easily get a gun and all that ammunition in this country.
Well, let's bring in John Donahue, who's a professor of law and economics at Stanford Law School. He's also written extensively on crime and gun control issues. John, how does this shooting in Santa Monica College, yet another rampage with a heavily armed shooter with full body vests, 1,300 rounds of ammunition, an assault rifle, and a handgun, with a history of mental illness? When we keep hearing this, they keep coming back to us. What's your reaction to it?
Well, much needs to be understood about the details of the case to fit it into the broader package. But again, it's another indication of what is a sadly common problem. Even though these events are relatively rare, the problem is that the United States sort of leads the world in these sorts of episodes, and they seem to be increasing in frequency. And in many respects, I think it shows that the thrust of American thinking about guns has been misguided for some time, and really steps need to be taken to turn around this sort of NRA mentality of guns for all and bring us in line with the other Western industrialized nations that do take, more assiduous and careful and effective steps at limiting who has access to this very serious firepower.
Well, there's a Swedish student interviewed at Santa Monica College during the rampage, and she said she was going to go home. She thinks America's too dangerous a country to live in.
Yeah, I mean, as countries go, we're homicidally dangerous compared to all other Western industrialized nations. Thankfully, we're not as bad as third world countries. So if you're willing to travel in Latin America, the United States looks pretty good. But it is shameful that a country of our wealth has a homicidal violence problem at the level that we do. No other rich country in the world has the homicide levels that we have, and of course it's predominantly fueled by gun violence. And unfortunately, a certain segment of the population has a wish to believe that guns make you safer. But the fact of the matter is, if we could be massively less gun saturated in this country, there's no question that the homicide rate would go down. Unfortunately, the rise of the sort of militant wing of the conservative legal analysis of the Constitution has given us a straitjacket to some degree with the Second Amendment decision,
sure.
Which I think has been an unfortunate trend, and hopefully we can stop further efforts to shackle wise and sensible gun policies at the constitutional level going forward.
Well, Paul Helmke, again, former president of the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence and currently professor of public policy at Indiana University. Ironically, of course, the shooter's name is similar to that of the head of al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, of course, that is irrelevant. But on the other hand, we spend so much money and so much attention, and Homeland Security spent $1 trillion on preventing terrorist incidents that are very few and far between, and they take up the entire attention of the country. Yet, repetitively, we have these massacres of Americans, killing Americans, and nothing is done. So I find that I'm in an alternative universe here. Does it trouble you?
Quite clearly. You look at the number of people that were killed on 9/11, we've surpassed that figure by far in terms of the gun violence in this country. 33 people are murdered with guns every day in this country. There's another 80 or so that are injured every day. When you add in the suicides with guns and accidents with guns, you've got a horrendous figure. Our emergency room physicians, surgical doctors are doing a lot better job at keeping these people alive. So sometimes it looks like the gun deaths are going down, but actually the shootings are staying up at a pretty high level. And again, as you said, the response from our elected officials is to do nothing. And that's the amazing thing. After 9/11, all sorts of things get passed right away, and you know we're not questioning even some of the things that that were done in to fight the war on terror. But in terms of trying to reduce gun violence in this country, all we seem to do is say, let's get more guns. And as John just said, but my one comment is, if more guns made us safer, we'd be the safest country in the world, because we've got more guns per capita than at least any other industrialized first world country. And it's not making us safer. It's putting us all at risk, and something does need to be done about it.
Well, I thank both of you gentlemen for joining us here today at the last minute. Paul Helmke, a professor of public policy at Indiana University and the former president of the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence, and John Donahue, the third, a professor of law at Stanford Law School and research associate in the National Bureau of Economic Research. He has written numerous publications on gun control policy and is the author of Shooting Down, The More Guns, Less Crime, Shooting Down the More Guns, Less Crime Hypothesis. So I hope we don't have to have this conversation again, gentlemen, but I fear we will.
Yeah, I'm afraid we will, but good to chat.
And thank you again, Paul.
And thank you, Ian, for focusing on this issue. It's important that we talk about this, not just when a shooting occurs, but almost every day till something gets done here.
Well, again, thank you both, gentlemen. And this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.